Kastner, you come. It's been good having Gary and Michelle and Timothy, Hannah, and Joshua here the last several months. And it's hard to believe 3 months has gone by so quickly. And they're getting ready to head back to Botswana on Tuesday. And you pray for them. They'll be going back and laboring there for a couple of months. And then they'll be back here for a year's furlough at the beginning of the year. And so you pray for the brethren there and pray for them as they get back to the work. But it's been good having them here. I'm glad Brother Kastner can come and preach the word to us tonight. And you open your hearts, your Bibles, and let the Lord speak to you through him. Brother, appreciate you.
Amen. Appreciate you, preacher. Thank you. Amen. It's a joy to be back home, to be with you. We've been traveling several weeks now, and it's been a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The morning service, the preaching, and the fellowship and the worship has really been a joy to my heart tonight. Amen. Throughout this day. And also, even the time that we've been here, I want to take some time to thank each and every one of you. Boy, it'd be hard to name everyone, but many of you have reached out to my family and to my children, and that means so much to me. I'll get these tears out of the way at the beginning, amen? But it's been good. And looking forward to getting back to the field of where God has called us. And I have a few prayer requests before we get into the message. And as you know, we have to go back and submit our resident permits, like a visa renewal. And that is something that will need a lot of prayer. So we ask you to begin. I know some of you have already been praying, but only the Lord can open that door. Only the Lord can do that work, and it will be through prayer.
Amen.
And so we ask you to do that. And then the other thing I want you to pray about, will you pray about going to Botswana to serve with us? Will someone come and really labor there in that country as the Lord opens that door? So maybe you just want to come for 2, 3, 4 weeks, six weeks, several months to labor. No, what I'm talking about is going there to serve the Lord.
Amen.
To reach some souls for Christ and build up the work of the Lord there. We certainly need laborers.
Amen, brother.
So will you pray about that? And I know George will be saying pray for South Africa too. Amen. But please, I know it's not easy. And one of the things about going to the field and visiting missionaries is, you know, where do you go? Who do you actually visit, and how far can you go? And I know it's a sacrifice to go as far as Botswana. It is. But it's a worthy sacrifice. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Can I get a few amens? Thank you, preacher. At least I know I'll get one amen. Believe it or not, my wife's been reminding me that in a couple months she's going to be married to a senior citizen. I still don't want to accept that, amen?
Accept it, brother.
Amen.
I'm in denial, amen. But it's been good. I know some of you don't see us often, but I was saved in March 19th, 1981, while I was in the military, and God got a hold of my heart. I surrendered to preach 1983 in Kolau Baptist Church, Kaneohe, Hawaii. My first pastor was Pastor Al Anger. And God then led me to train for the ministry. At that time, it was you're called to preach. It's a call to prepare. And so the Lord led me there to Maranatha and out of the military. And in 1987, it was 1984 that I went to Bible college. And then in 1987, that's when I began meeting my future wife. At that time, of course, we were there together, same years. And that the first time, at that time, she was in Mazan Baptist Church. And in 1987, I went to Mazan during a Christmas program, and I heard Ronnie Hammett at that time sing. And boy, could he sing back in 1987. How old were you? Not to, you know, but I mean, do you remember? 11 years old, and he was glorifying the Lord. And it was a joy to hear him again this morning. That brought back memories to that time. And it was there that I met Brother Doug Hammett, and we struck up a friendship all these years, and we got married in Mazan Baptist Church in 1988, and then we moved out here to serve at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. And we came in August, so next year, August, will be 30 years at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. And it's been good. It's been good. It's home. And it's a blessing to serve the Lord with you. So I ask you to pray. Continue to pray for us, as many of you do. And some of you have let me know, you know, during this time of your commitment to intercessory prayer. And I really appreciate that. That's what we need. More than anything else, we need that prayer support. So keep up the good work. Amen. And I know it's a struggle. We are members of this body, and certainly it's nice when you see us. And you can actually listen, you know, and hear us, and maybe invite us over and talk about the burdens, talk about the field, and get to know more of what we're going through and see us at that time. But the hardest thing is when we disappear again. We go far away. And yet at the same time, the Lord has called us as a body. Amen. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says we should have the same care one for another. Amen. That is a challenge. Because it's easy to care for one sitting next to you, or the brother in need, or sister in need, or young person in need when you see them all the time. But so I believe you can see it through prayer. You can see it through prayer and provide that same care. You know, God will do it. God will put it on your heart. God will, you know, you read the prayer letters, but you can learn to read between the lines. Amen. So continue growing in that area. And that's one of the things I challenge you to come and visit us on the field. That would be something that would be a blessing to you and a help to us, and certainly for the brethren there and the people that we see come to Christ. That will be a tremendous blessing. So put that on your prayer list. Amen. Or some of you don't want to pray about that because you know God will lead you there. Amen. Let's get into the Word of God. Genesis chapter 24 tonight. We want to look at a model servant. A model servant. The Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 10 said this: "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." So who is the greatest in the kingdom? Who is the greatest? Who is the chiefest among us? It's the one who is servant. You know, and that's what we see in the Word of God. The way up is down. Amen. I was thinking about this. Go to Revelation. Just we'll come back to this. Genesis 24. Sorry about that. But Revelation chapter 22. What do you think you're going to be doing for all eternity? Does anyone know that? You think you're going to be floating around on a cloud and just kicking back? What does the Bible tell us? And so I ask you, are you comfortable with this right now? Is this a description of you right now? Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. Now remember, the Lord has already made a new heaven and a new earth. Think about that. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And what? His servants shall serve him. His servants shall serve him. What are we going to do in eternity? Serve the Lord. Amen. What should we be doing now? Serve the Lord. You know, we all strive to serve the Lord. We all strive to give of ourselves. And certainly as we heard in worship tonight, isn't there a reason to serve the one who shed his blood for us, who gave his life for us? Amen. Certainly, we want to give back to him. And the greatest thing you can give back to him is your life. Your life of service, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, everything that even comes from him, every good gift, is from above. Right. He is worthy. But Genesis chapter 24, what a wonderful chapter. We've been studying through Genesis in Africa for many, many months now. And we just got done on Genesis chapter 24. In fact, the men were preaching this morning there on this passage. Not all of it, but I'm going to give you the full load tonight. Amen? Amen. No. You're tired already. It's 7 o'clock. Who's getting old? Not me. Amen. Genesis 24. If you look at this chapter, we see that you can find out, young men, how to find a wife, biblically. Amen? It's all in this chapter. And secondly, we see in this chapter the qualities of a godly young lady that you need to develop in your life so that you can attract a godly young man in your life. So we see all the qualities in Rebecca of what a young lady should be and what God brought out for us in this chapter. But then we see the servant, the model servant. And we all know we ought to serve the Lord. We all know that we ought to be servants of the Lord. But tonight, let's take a look at the qualities of this servant. I call it a model servant because it's almost a perfect picture of what you and I should be as servants of the Lord today. Amen. Let us strive to follow this example. One thing that we see in this chapter, he refers to Abraham 19 times, my master. 19 times he talks about his master in this chapter. And you realize By studying this chapter, and it's 67 verses, we're not going to be able to get into all of this chapter. But as you do study it, and you fix your eye upon this model servant, you will know that he, his purpose, his goal, was to be loyal and faithful to his master. That's what he was about. Everything he talked about, the way he talked about his master, the way he exalted his master. Look at verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham at this time was 140 years old. He was called in to the promised land, the land of Canaan, when he was 75. So think about that. He's been walking with God 65 years. And he's the father of our faith. You know, one of the greatest studies right here in these chapters, chapter 12 all the way up here, is the life of Abraham. And that walk of faith. And one thing we can learn about Abraham was that he also fell and got back up more than once. Several times. And God was there to pick him up. Amen? God was there. God was always faithful to him. So he learned. And if you go back, you say, well, what about the servant? What did the servant learn? If you go back to chapter number 18, you'll see Abraham received the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. The Lord Jesus Christ and two angels. And he had 300 servants. That's what the Bible tells us. He had 300 servants. But you know who was serving the Lord and who was serving the angels was not, he didn't send his servants out to do it. It was Abraham running to serve the Lord. And so this servant, more than likely Eliezer of Damascus, learned from his master how to serve. Amen. Just look at Jesus Christ. Amen. He's our master. Amen. And the King of glory, the Lord of glory, became flesh. And you know what he became? A servant.
Amen.
Look at your master. He'll teach you to serve. Amen. Amen. So let's look at some qualities tonight. Verse number 2 and verse... Let's just read down a few verses to verse number 14. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And then the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the land, city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. It goes on and on. It goes on. What a wonderful story, amen? Amen. The providence of God. The hand of God. Yes, we see the hand of God. But let us not overlook the responsibility of man. Mm-hmm. The responsibility of that servant. So let's look at this model servant, a couple qualities tonight. Number one, the model servant is chosen by the master. Amen. The model servant is chosen by the master. If you go back up to verse number 2. Why was he chosen? He was the eldest servant of his house. But it says that he ruled over all that he had. So here's a man who has been faithful year after year. Now, I want you to think about if this truly is Eliezer. Genesis chapter 15 tells us before Isaac was born that Eliezer was in line to receive all the inheritance. Can you imagine that? Here's a servant who was in line to receive everything. And then Isaac was born and became the heir, as God has promised. Amen. What kind of servant was he? Did he get upset? Did he get angry? Did he get bitter over it? No, he faithfully and loyally served the master. And the master said, I want you to do a great mission for me. Can you imagine entrusting a servant? Remember, Abraham didn't go. Isaac didn't go. But the servant went to find a wife for the master's son. What a picture. What is that? The servant went to find a bride for the master's son. Amen. That's what we're involved in today.
Yeah, that's right. Right, man.
What a privilege. All of us. And you see, this servant not only served Abraham faithfully, but then he served Isaac. By the end of the chapter, he was serving Isaac. That's how loyal and faithful he was. And we talked about this about 3 months ago, and pastors preached about it as well. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? You know, God has something for us to do. God has something very important. But we must have that quality of loyalty and faithfulness to the master. That's why he was chosen. Paul said this, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What did Paul tell Timothy? 2 Timothy 2, 2. Commit thou to faithful men. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord has so much for us. So much in store for us if we will be faithful. If we will be loyal to the master. So I ask you tonight, can the master depend upon you for that difficult mission? This servant, the model servant, he could depend upon. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, not only was his servant chosen by the master, the servant, the model servant, is sent by the master. We see that back in verse number 4. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. He says, go not to the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Don't, you know, he gave clear instructions. He sent him. He didn't just go out on his own and think, okay, I'm going to figure this out. Certainly, a lot of beautiful young Canaanite women would love to marry Isaac. He's young, he's handsome, he's rich. It'd be easy just to go anywhere and find a wife. No. He was sent by the master. He didn't go out on his own. He didn't move on his own. He didn't think up his own plan. He listened to the instructions of his master. He was sent by the authority of his master. Do we go where the master sends us? Are we faithful to go? You know, how many times does the Lord tell us, I want you to go witness to that person. I want you to go and serve the Lord. I want you to take that trip that is 2 days long and you're going to feel sick and you're going to be tired. But I want you to go preach the gospel in Africa. No, Lord, I can't get time off. And certainly, my vacation days are reserved. And certainly, it's going to, but I want you to go and serve me. Where you go? Will you go across the street? Will you go down to Center City, Allentown and preach?
Amen.
We need laborers. Can I hear an amen from inside the... I think Adam's behind the curtain over there, so I'm sure he's shouting amen. Will you go down to Center City, Allentown and preach the gospel? Will you go out on visitation every Tuesday night faithfully to preach the gospel? Are you going where the master sent you? And let me remind you, it's a command to go. And go means action. You can't just be sitting there in the pew and go. You got to get up and go. You got to put effort into it. It takes effort. It takes action. It takes sacrifice to go. The servant was sent by the master. Certainly we can't go out in our own strength, can we? But I like this promise. And it's very real, preacher. The Lord will send his angel before thee.
Amen.
You see, when you are committed to go, when you're committed to go where he sends you and not go where it displeases the Lord, go not unto the Canaanites. Amen. When you're committed, you have the promise of God's presence, of God's power.
That's good. Yeah.
And if you read this story, I being in the way, the Lord led me.
Amen.
Now I want you to know about this mission. About 450 miles he had to travel. With 10 camels. Do you think, you know, this was a 2-month journey. There and back, 900 miles. Do you think that was an easy mission? So he didn't shy away from the difficult task, amen? He didn't shy away from going where it's hard to reach, where it takes some sacrifice. He goes where he was sent. He doesn't just go where he likes to go. Oh, it's easy to go on vacation. It's easy to go to Hawaii. It's easy to go get away at the lake and at the shore. But it's difficult to go to Africa, to the heart of the darkest places on the face of this earth. It's difficult to go, and very few want to go. Whose fault is it? It's not the master's. It's the servant's. We like to go where it's convenient. We like to go where it's easy. We like to go where it's fun. Amen? Or am I just preaching to myself? I'm a sinner just like you. So he doesn't just go where he wants to. He goes where he's sent. And listen, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach who? All nations. Right at Allentown, we probably need to get a list of all the nations. And make that a matter of prayer and say, are we really obeying God to go where, right here in our doorstep, man, where it's easy? Are we willing to go there?
Amen.
Not only is the model servant chosen by the master, the model servant is sent by the master, but I think thirdly, something else very important. The model servant obeys the instructions of the master. Look at verse 5. Do you see the concern to get it right? Do you see that in verse 5? He wanted to get it right, brother. Peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? You know, he's thinking about this. This is a great task. And it can't just be done any old way. You see, he had to go and get a bride for the master's son. And there's a particular way to get the bride. Amen. Matthew through Revelation is the particular way to get the bride. It's in the book. You know, and it's not deep, difficult, mysterious to understand this. It's preach the gospel. Make disciples. And the only way I can tell you about making disciples is spend a lot of time with the believers. Impart what God has given you to these new believers. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes a willingness to vulnerability to open your life up, to open your home up, to really get involved with people's lives. The instructions are in the book. The master gave us clear instructions. Are we willing to obey the instructions of the master? Are we willing to go and really seek to obey the instructions of the New Testament in building churches, in planning churches, in training men for the ministry? We have the instruction book, the word of God, and we have the promise, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm thankful. And that's what Abraham does. Look at verse 6. And I'm thankful for the Lord's encouragement. I've been encouraged through the preaching of the word of God. I've been challenged even in these 3 months. And so Abraham, what does he say unto the servant, verse 6? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. He gave him, you know, hey, don't do this. This is wrong. Isn't the Lord faithful to tell us what's wrong? And then in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house. He's going all the way back, brethren, 65 years ago. How many of you been walking with the Lord 65 years? Is there anyone here? Someone may. 65 years? Bob? No. Think about the faithfulness of God that he saw, amen? And he was encouraging his servant. Isn't God faithful through the preaching? You come in here all beat up Monday through Saturday and you get refreshed. You get encouraged by hearing testimonies. Hey, you want to get encouraged? Who wants to get encouraged? Man, go to the prayer meeting Sunday morning. Hear what God is doing. You'll be encouraged. Amen. So he's encouraging him. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that and that swear unto me. saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And he said, and if the woman will not be willing to follow, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. So we see he was instilling in him confidence in the Lord of heaven, the Lord, the God of the earth. He'll do it. And it's the same God we serve. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. 4,000 years later, it's the same God we serve.
Amen.
David, he cried out to the people in 1 Chronicles 29:5, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Do we want to concentrate our efforts? Do we want to dedicate our lives to the service of the Lord this day? Who among us is willing? Amen? I want you to think of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Matthew 26:39, when he was going to the cross, what was his attitude? What was his attitude? He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen. And I want you to understand, it wasn't the pain of being tortured, being whipped, having his beard plucked out, the crown of thorns, being spat upon. It wasn't the pain of the being nailed to the cross. It wasn't the pain of everything that he was going through. What he was talking to the Father about the cup to pass over him was the very fact that he would bear our sins. God bore our sins, and God separated from God. Put that in your theology cap and think on it. Jesus bore our sins. That's what he said, but he said, thy will be done. Amen. He was the greatest servant of all. What is this servant saying? He's saying, I'm going to obey my master. I'm going to do what my master says as he says it. Are we willing to do that? Verses 10 and 11. The model servant makes preparations for his mission. Now, camels travel about 25 miles a day and could cover up to 60 miles if they had to. So we're talking about 10 camels, guards along the way for the trip, about 900 miles, about 2 months. And not only did he make preparations for the journey, but think about this. He's meditating upon, okay, how am I going to fulfill this mission? Because not only is he preparing for the journey, he's preparing for the approach, okay? How am I going to find the bride? How am I going to do this? There's meditation there. There's time. There's preparation. And I think about responsibilities that we're given in church. How do we treat them? What is our attitude? Is it the attitude of this servant? I mean, he was like, hey, what if this doesn't happen? You know, she may not obey. She may not come. I mean, he's concerned about this. And not only that, he's saying, man, I got a long journey. I got to make some serious preparations here. And when I get there, I really need to think this through. I need to do well in this mission. I'm on a mission for my master. And he's thinking about, here's, you know, and God is directing him. God is helping him all through this story. Do we just wing things at church? Given responsibilities, we just wing it, right? Certainly we've done this over and 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 over again. Certainly we got this covered, right? You know, that's the attitude of many people serving the Lord today. What about preparation and prayer? Preparation and seeking God's instructions and getting the wisdom of God on the matter. That takes time. And model servants prepare for difficult missions. Verses 12 to 14. The model servant depends upon the Lord for guidance through prayer. Look what he does. He knows he cannot do it on his own. Verse 12. Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. And then certainly he's already praying about, Lord, I want you to bless. This is what I've prayed about. This is what I've thought about. And Lord, I want to know this is your will. Do we seek guidance through prayer? Look at down in later in the chapter, read down a few verses, verse 42. What kind of man was he? Here he is at Laban's house, right? And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, and he's sharing his prayer. Amen. He gets others involved in prayer. And then down in verse number 45. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And he's going on. And what he's doing now, he is saying that God answered my prayer. God answered prayer. Are we going about praying? Are we going about sharing our prayer requests with others? And are we going about giving God the glory when he answers our prayer?
Amen.
That's what this servant was about. You know, it was all about giving God the glory. It was about lifting up the master.
Amen.
And we see that in verse 26. Jump back up. What does that mean when the clock starts counting upward? No. Okay, it's bad, but I'm getting old. I can't see that far. I'll be quick. I'm just following my pastor's example, amen. Genesis chapter 24, verse 26. Now, another quality here. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Do you see what he's doing? The model servant gives all the glory to God for his success. It's not about how much we can do for God. It's not about, you know, I'm trying to compare myself with someone else. And there, see, that servant is God's servant, is going to answer the master. I have to be faithful for what God called me to do and with my limited abilities. Use them for the glory of God. And we need to keep our eyes off of other people and keep our eyes on the master. And on the Lord, on the God of the master. Amen. So he gives God the glory. He worships the Lord. He gives praise to God. He gives the testimony. When God answers prayer, he gives God all the glory. Look at verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. You see, I'm a servant, but I got a great master. Amen. He lifted up, he exalted the master, he gave the glory to the master. Verse 52. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words. You see, here it's coming now to the positive answer. To see what God has done. He heard their words. He worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. How many times do we see him giving God the glory? How many times do we see him worshiping and praising the Lord? Isn't that what we ought to do?
Amen.
And again, one of the greatest ways we can do that is when someone tries to exalt us or praise us for something, we need to redirect that immediately unto the master. Unto the Lord.
Amen.
Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Proverbs 27:2.
Right.
Are you careful to do that?
That's good.
That's what model servants do. They praise. Blessed is my master. Amen. Blessed is the Lord God.
That's good.
Last but not least. The model servant puts his mission above all else. He put his mission above all else. He knew what the mission was. He wanted to obey carefully the instructions of his master. He wanted to get to find the bride for the master's son. And he wanted to do it the way the master commanded him to do it. But let me tell you. There'll be a lot of deterrence in the way. There'll be a lot of people who want to get you to go to the left, to the right, to get off the course that God puts you on. They want to deter you in your mission. See, this happened here. Look, if you will, in verse number 33. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Yeah, I mean, here's a man on a long journey. They set a nice spread before him. And he says, no, I am not going. I'm on a mission. I got something important to do. I want to see this through. And I'm not going to stop until the mission is complete. Do we know anyone else who said that in the New Testament? John 4. In verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You see, while the disciples were worried about their own stomachs and worried about their own physical needs, Jesus was meeting the spiritual needs of the lost people of Samaria. Amen? verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go. And he said unto them, here he is, the servant, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. What's he saying? Don't hinder me in the mission. You know, they called Rebecca and Rebecca said, I'll go. So Rebecca went. But they were trying to hinder him in his mission. You're going to have people all along the way. You're going to have things in the way that want to hinder you from doing God's service, from doing what God called you to do. Physical things, material things, but also spiritual struggles, amen? Hinder me not. God prospered this. I'm going to be obedient to the master. And then, the end of the story, the master's son is blessed by the faithfulness and loyalty of the servant.
Amen.
Does your service make the master happy? We got to ask that question. We know that God was the sole cause of all the events of this story. Even the choice of the bride was God's. Amen. God confirmed it. The sign he gave, Laban recognized it. Rebecca complied with it. But then we see God doing all this work. And now we read this story of this servant. It's penned in the inspired word of God for us to read today. This model servant's faithfulness and service is recorded right here in God's word.
Amen.
You see, God's going to do it with or without you. Do you know that? And it's a privilege to be in the way and to have God lead you and have God bless you and have God prosper your way and God show you and you be a part of his work. It's a privilege and an honor.
Yes, it is.
And when we get to heaven, we're just going to keep serving the Lord. It ought not to be strange to us now.
Right.
His servants shall serve him.
Right.
What are we doing for God? What are we doing for God?
Amen.
He has a mission. Are you loyal to his mission? Let's pray. Will you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening attentively tonight to the word of God. We saw the picture of a model servant. It's been a challenge to me. There's probably a lot more you can dig out of this chapter. But I think we've seen several qualities that should challenge us tonight that we would be careful, amen, obedient, that we realize it's not about us. It's about the master. Amen. Father, meet with us in this hour. Lord, help us not to realize or think it's time to go home. Help us to know it's time to do business. It's time to be obedient. It's time to be led by your spirit in the decisions you've called us to make, the sacrifices you've called us to make. Oh God, help us tonight. Be with this great church. Be with these great servants, Lord. Help them tonight. Certainly we all, Lord, can change some things in our lives and shore up some areas that we've been slacking. God, help us. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The pastor's going to come and close out the service.
Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I've asked Brother Defoe just to play a couple verses of the invitation hymn. And I want to give you an opportunity as he begins to play the piano at this time. If God's spoken to your heart about your service to the Lord, maybe you want to come and talk to the Lord about that here at the front. Maybe you want to talk to the Lord there in your seat. We need to grow in our service for the Lord. Are you available? Are you willing? Are you faithful?